This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block.
Fellow Americans, we are gathered here in the largest demonstration in the history of this nation.
That's civil rights pioneer A. Philip Randolph speaking 40 years ago today in Washington, D.C.
Let the nation and the world know the meaning of our numbers. We are not a pressure group. We are not a mob. We are the advance guard of a massive moral revolution for jobs and freedom.
Randolph stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial before a vast crowd, African Americans and supporters of their struggle to bring down barriers to equal protection and economic advancement. Negroes, the term used back then, had fought for a better life for years. But in the months and years leading up to the March on Washington, many protests, especially in the South, had turned violent.
What most people remember about that August day in 1963 is the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. For those who were in Washington that day, many of the things they saw and heard would stay with them for the rest of their lives. The day after the march, one participant recounted his impressions to a mass audience. Gene Shepherd was a radio storyteller with a gift for detail and a casual, offhand style. We present now a part of his unscripted remarks, broadcast live on August 29, 1963.
We left 47th Street. I rode on a bus with maybe 200,000 other people all riding on buses towards Washington, D.C. Well, we're going along there, and in the darkness, you see, a bus would go past, and instantly you'd see all these hands out the window waving at our bus. Our bus is waving at them. Great moment. And after a while, you got so that it was just normal. A train went past us at one point. There was a train when we got down past off the Jersey Turnpike and over past Philadelphia and on through Delaware. We were skirting a railroad track. And a train went past with maybe 8 or 9 or 10 cars loaded to the gunnels with people. And the whole train was waving at our bus. And we're waving at the train, and the crew was waving out of the front of the locomotive. I'm just describing to you what exactly happened. Well, we arrived on the outskirts of Washington. We're riding along one of the main streets through the slums, by the way, of Washington. And here were hundreds of people on the steps, little old ladies, grandmas, skinny kids, tough-looking guys who worked as garage mechanics, nuns. Everywhere we went, they're sitting on the porch waving with the greatest, not the kind of waving that says, go on in and give them hell, just but a strange, happy, we're glad you're here waving, and gee, you know, hi, how are you, you know, just a unbelievable feeling all the way through, and they're all out there on the steps and streets waving, and everybody in the bus, of course, is waving. And we finally arrive down at the 20th and E, and we get out, and everybody is stiff. Oh, boy, everybody was stiff, you know. We'd stopped a couple of times at gas stations on the way down. Everybody's sort of walking around stiff-legged, bent over sideways, you know. The back of your neck was hurting. And immediately, about 45 people instantly had to go to the John, immediately, which is always what happens when everybody gets off of a bus. We sort of walked around, and somebody says, well, let's go to that building over there. There was a big, gray, official-looking building standing to our right, just a very official building. And people started to go down into the driveway of this official building that had big trucks, just ordinary trucks, and guys working in there. They were not connected with the demonstration or anything, just a building working, you see. And the instant the people started to show up, it was a wild moment. They're escorting everybody in to where they can get water. Do you want any coffee? They're cheering, yeah, come on. I walked through there, and we went in, and everybody is getting water. And we came back out. It was a very odd experience to have people really concerned about you. They really were worried. They were saying, gee, do you want to sit down? Do you want to, how about some coffee? Hey, get some coffee. And they were just in a building. Well, we walked out, and then Out on the street, we started to go to the area where we were all going to assemble. But it was not at all the way I would have imagined or have imagined a demonstration or any of this kind of thing to be like. Everybody's you're walking on the street, and it's like you are suddenly with a million old friends. It was like a family reunion. And there wasn't one moment that was phony at all about it. I had people step on my foot and say, "Oh, for heaven's sakes, excuse me." You know, I had a man standing in front of me when there was a big thing going on. He says, "Can you see now?" And oh, one more thing has to be pointed out. A man told me just when we were walking, and he was a Negro, by the way, and an old friend of mine. He says, "You know," he says, "I wish my cousin who lives in Paris could see this, could be part of this. He would never understand it, though." He says, "This is a purely American thing." He says, "The headlines," he says, "you know, you read a headline about another country, you don't understand it because you're not Vietnamese, you know. You just don't know what is happening in Belgium because you're not Belgian, you know. It's just very difficult to know. And it is very difficult for a European to understand this." It really, I'm sure it is. And so we're walking along, and everybody is sort of standing along the sidelines waving. There are thousands and thousands of white people and colored people. Everybody's just standing there. Guys in offices are cheering out and waving. Nobody reported on this. They're all along the line of march. Guys are standing in offices waving. And I want to go on record saying beforehand, during the entire day, I did not hear one word that I could construe as being the kind of word that you would hear in demonstrations. I did not see one moment that I could call a moment that gave me one even instant feeling of imminent rabble-rousing. Nobody was hollering, "Workers unite!" Nobody's yelling, nothing. Everybody's sort of walking along, the sun is coming down, everybody's cheering, waving. We get to the park where the Lincoln Memorial is. Incidentally, I once again, it reaffirms in my mind, one of the most beautiful cities I've ever been in is Washington. And we're coming through, and the sun is coming down through the trees, and millions of people are now gathering. And I don't know how they could estimate the number of people were there. People were everywhere, and then the push started to get rough. And up there on the Washington, or the Lincoln Memorial, and suddenly through the crowd is this little tiny band of people coming with a little sign that said Mississippi. That was really a moment. I'll tell you, that was a moment. And everybody is hollering at them and talking, and they're laughing and hollering. It was kind of like a joke, too. You know, it was kind of funny. And they're laughing and they're talking. And incidentally, I must go on record as saying, too, in that Mississippi group, there were more than just a few white people. That should be pointed out. And they're laughing, and everybody's laughing. They got their little signs at Mississippi, and people are hitting them on the back when they walk through. They've come all the way up on some crummy old bus, you know, or something. So they're there, and they're standing around there. Well, in the middle of it all, it's the greatest crowd I've ever been in my life. I'll tell you, it's a much greater crowd than you ever see at a ball game, which is supposed to be a fun thing, you know. There was a man standing back of me that had a big white Panama hat on, and he, like so many of the demonstrators, it was obvious that this was a very big moment for him, and he was all dressed up. So many of them were almost all the people. Did you know that's an interesting thing, that our delegation was told to wear a jacket, was told to wear a tie, a white shirt, and I mean, because this is a thing we're going to that's very important. And so everybody was all dressed up. It was funny to see, as we came into Washington, all the guys putting their jackets on. and it's hot. Oh, boy, was it hot on the bus. Putting their ties on, you know, trying to straighten up their collar and everything else. Because, you know, we're going to think. Somebody said it was like going to church with 200,000 people. That's really what it was like. Well, standing back of me was a man, a great guy. He was sort of a little short, stout man, sweating like mad. And he had rimless glasses. And his rimless glasses were all clouded up because he was sweating, and everybody was pushing him, and he had his little signs, and the sign said, NAACP Boston Branch. And he's holding up his thing. You know, it's a long way from Boston, believe me, to Washington in a bus. So he's holding that sign up there, and then Marian Anderson started to sing the Star Spangled Banner. And the push was so fantastic, you could see nothing except those great white columns of the Lincoln Memorial standing over you. And back of you, all the way in the distance, you could see the Washington Monument standing up. Well, this little fat man standing back of me, sweating profusely, and he's holding up his sign, and Marian Anderson started to sing the Star Spangled Banner. And it was, you know, it's the usual kind of Star Spangled Banner where it's through a PA system, and we're so far away we could hardly hear, you know. And she's singing, you couldn't even distinguish the words, but it was the Star Spangled Banner, everybody's standing there. And suddenly a lady about, 5 or 6 feet away, a lady with a colored, a big red colored hat on with big white flowers, the official kind of lady, you know what I mean, by the club lady who's always organizing. See, this is a very club lady type. And she's a big colored lady, and she starts to say, "Will the Brooklyn Corps representatives please assemble over here? Please get over here, Brooklyn Corps representatives." And she's hollering in the middle of the Star Spangled Banner. Well, the guy behind me says, "Madam, madam," and she looks at him, what? He says, "They're singing the Star Spangled Banner. We usually are quiet during the singing of the Star Spangled Banner, please. They're singing the Star Spangled Banner." Well, she sat just a funny look on her face for a minute, and she turns. Of course, the real organizer is not ever put off by anything such so trivial as feelings or emotions. And I suddenly see all these official showbiz types frantically running around getting photographed. And somehow I had that was the one discordant moment that I had in my own mind. I didn't see any of these great, you know, these people who got their pictures in all the New York Times and all the papers. I didn't see one of those guys march. I'm sorry. I didn't see any of them do any of the stuff that all the poor little people who went down there to do did. And they're up there signing autographs, and they're frantically standing in the way of newsreel cameras and getting their pictures taken, signing autographs as though somehow they vaguely were responsible for goodness. You know, they've come to put official stamp on goodness in the world. And everybody was watching them. They're signing autographs. And all the while they're signing autographs, Martin Luther King is giving his talk, which was a brilliant speech, by the way. Martin Luther King is speaking, and these guys are standing around signing autographs, and the newsreel cameramen are taking their pictures. And even the hard-bitten guys from Life magazine, the Time reporter, there was a guy named Kappa standing next to me, a famous Time reporter, and you could see it was a very funny feeling. You know, it was not a news story. You know what I mean by news story? It was an experience, an actual experience.
With his theme music bringing the program to a close, radio storyteller Gene Shepherd ends his impressions of the March on Washington. The broadcast took place on August 29th, 1963, over station WOR in New York City. Shepherd died in 1999 at the age of 78.
Photos, speeches, and interviews with other March participants and organizers are at our website, npr.org.